Next application is case number 11179, the application of Nassau Investments LLC. Site is located south of Route 1, also referred to as Coastal Highway, approximately 2,125 feet northwest of Route 9, also referred to as Lewis Georgetown Highway, and being more specifically identified as tax map ID 3-34, map number 5, parcel number 95.
Agree.
Requesting a special use exception to replace an existing non-conforming billboard, a variance from the side yard setback for a billboard, a variance from the distance of another billboard, and a variance from a dwelling. And more specifically, the application makes reference to the variances as being a 29.7-foot variance from the required 50-foot side yard setback, a 279.3-foot variance from the required 300-foot separation from another billboard, a 61.2-foot variance from the required 300-foot spacing from a dwelling, and also a 43.3-foot variance from the required 300-foot spacing from another dwelling. And gentlemen, there's been no letters received in this application. This site has been referenced to previous variances for additional wall signs. Case number 10084 on March 3rd of 2008. Also setback variance for the front. Case number 3930 on August 7th of 1989. Adjacent parcels, there were variances for signs granted for parcel 99, approximately four lots from this site on October 18th of 1993. And the adjacent parcel was approved for a daycare center. And I've received no letters for or against this application from any agency or individual.
Thank you. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Mr. Chairman, do you want me to swear in the witnesses?
Yes, please.
Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Bruce Geyer, 48 Goosebriar Lane, Milford, Delaware, 1963.
Dale McAllister, 122 Rosemary Road, Dover, Delaware.
You both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you, bud.
Good evening. As I think all of you that are sitting there know, my name is David Hutt, a Georgetown attorney. Here with me tonight is Dale McAllister with First Date Signs and Bruce Geyer, who's the managing member of Nassau Investments, LLC, the owner of the property, which Mr. Lank just described when he introduced the application. As Mr. Lank described the application, I believe he described it as being so many feet north of Route 9. Another way to think of or locate the property would be as you are headed southbound on Route 1 and you cross over the bridge in Nassau, it would be almost immediately on your right. There's the Best Equipment store located on your right, and then the property immediately after that, as you drive south, would be the shops and suites at Sandbar. And this sign that we're here on tonight is located at the northernmost end of that shopping center. As you know, billboards or off-premise signs, as the code describes them, are only allowed on CR1 property with a special use exception. And of course, this property is zoned CR1, being located immediately adjacent to Route 1. The billboard has been there for, to our knowledge, more than 25 years. Mr. Geyer just described to me how it still has its Del Dot emblem or plaque, which probably dates it back to the 60s or 70s. No precise date is known. Now, the reason that's significant tonight is because it's what would the law would refer to as a non-conforming structure, which means that the structure was built before the zoning authority, in this case Sussex County, had regulations which impacted it. The non-conformities on this structure are highlighted in the tonight's variance application, and what was just handed down to you is the survey that was submitted with the variance application, as well as half a dozen pictures of the sign that were actually taken today, so that we know that that actually is exactly what the sign looks like as we speak. If you turn to the first picture, in the group that was submitted to you, you'll see that this is an older sign, as it's simply four telephone or utility poles in the ground, and you'll see that one of them has succumbed to time and is either damaged or weakened and has to currently be braced up. In conversations I've had with the Planning and Zoning Office, first Ms. Isaacs and now Mr. Lenk, we were informed, or my client was informed, that he could simply replace that one pole without having to come back before the Board of Adjustment. However, rather than do that, since the sign is already damaged and something needs to be done to it, it seemed as though this would be an opportune time to modernize or update the sign and put it on a steel monopole. There are many advantages to a steel monopole sign. Mr. McAllister could probably speak more eloquently to them very quickly. They're safe. They're safer, they're stronger, they increase sight lines because you don't have as many poles on there. From the county standpoint, the county receives, for a steel monopole, it receives an engineered drawing as opposed to a telephone utility structure, which it would not receive the same engineered drawing for. The engineers have to calculate the wind loads for the sign, the steel for the sign, and in addition, all the way down to what size concrete base would be appropriate for those wind loads and the steel structure. As part of the thought process for the new sign, the applicant would also make it a more, rather than sort of the homespun nature of the sign you see there, it'd be a standard size that's allowed by the code with a walkways on either side for replacing of the sign. And that means that it would be a 300 square foot sign, 25 feet in height. McAllister put up a visualization showing what the steel monopole structure would look like when it replaces the four utility poles. And we can hand that around if anybody needs to see that closer. The sign is currently only 20 feet in height. The code obviously allows 25 feet, which is what's proposed for the new sign. That's not part of the variance request because it's what the code allows. And if you turn to the second page, the second picture, which is actually the third page, you'll see this sign, and then next to it are signs that are on the Best Equipment property. Those signs are also 25 feet in height. They are the correct height under the code. So in addition to that visualization, if you just raise the Garrison Home sign up to the same height as the BB Medical Center sign that's there, that will give you a good idea of exactly what the sign would look like as it's being proposed here tonight. As you know, billboards or off-premise signs require a special use exception in the C1 zoning classification. And the prior application was also a special use exception. And as Mr. Fuquay indicated, the standard is that such exception will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring property. And we know that it won't substantially adversely affect the neighboring properties, as the sign's been in existence for more than 25 years or probably greater than that. In addition, the only real change that's being proposed here, other than eliminating the four poles at the bottom, is to raise it up 5 feet in height, which will, of course, increase the sight lines to the businesses located along Route 1. If you look, another reason that we know it won't substantially affect the neighboring properties is, as was referenced, Mr. Lang talked about other variances on adjacent properties, and if you look at the pictures, the fourth and fifth pictures that are here, you'll see there are numerous other billboards along this section of Route 1. Thus, it's consistent with the use of the area and neighborhood. The fourth reason, which I'll give, that it will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent property, is that several residential communities have developed along this portion of Route 1. Immediately behind it, there is Sandbar Village. That's on the western side of Route 1. On the eastern side of Route 1, and you'll see it shown on the survey, you'll see Terramino Place, and that's part of, as I indicated a moment ago, that's part of the variance request. In the case of Terramino Place, the first building permits were issued for that in May of 2000, obviously well after the sign had been there for many years. Thus, it's not the sign that came is trying to come into a residential neighborhood. It's residential neighborhoods that have sprung up around a sign. As we know, those neighborhoods have been there for, in the case of Taramino Place, for the better part of a decade, and there appears to not have been a substantial effect as the neighborhood was developed successfully. In addition to the special use exception required by the code for this site, the historical location of this structure also requires four variances. Mr. Lank described those in detail, but if you were to look at the survey, that's the front page of the documents that were submitted to you. I'm just going to start at the top of the circle, and you'll see the two townhouse unit buildings that are there. As I just indicated, those townhouse units were constructed after May of 2000, and of course they fall within the 300-foot radius that the code describes as not allowing residential units. If you move to the sign itself, where it's situated on the survey, you'll see the box that says Proposed Billboard A, and it has the dimensions of it. Towards the bottom of that, if you have the drawing in front of you so you can read it, you'll see the side yard setback shown there of 12.2 feet. And as was indicated, that's where this sign has been located throughout the entire history of this property. The final variance that's sought is from a distance between another billboard. The code says that should be 300 feet, and as you can see there, it's 20.7 feet. And most people driving past this property would think that all of the billboards there are probably situated on the same property because they almost form a virtual straight line. Of course, if you look at the tax parcels and the actual deeds for the property, you'll see that they actually fall on different properties, but somebody did in the past decide to line up those properties. And that's part of the nonconformity of the code. At one time, that wasn't regulated, and there must not have been the 300-foot setback distance from another billboard. The five factors for granting a variance, I'll begin with the first one, which is uniqueness. The uniqueness of this application is that this is a nonconforming structure, which is in the same location it's historically been in when it was constructed prior to the zoning code, which we are now seeking the variance from. In addition, two of the variances, rather, are not situations that the applicant had any control over, as the residential townhouse units were constructed long after the sign had been there. The second standard is that the property cannot otherwise be developed. The only way to put up the desirable monopole, which is safer and stronger, is to come back to the board. If the existing sign is to stay there, then they'll have to replace that just that one pole. This allows for the reasonable use of the property as it has been used this same way for, again, more than a quarter of a century. The third standard is that it was not created by the applicant. To my way of thinking, nonconformities by definition aren't created by the applicant, as the sign predates the code. But more importantly, obviously, the townhouses across the street were certainly not constructed by the applicant. And it's difficult to know whose sign went up first. And we could get into, an argument with our neighbor and arm wrestle him about which one of those old signs went up first. It would probably not be productive, but needless to say, that structure is old and nonconforming. When the application was filed, I spoke with Ms. Isaacs, and she was not aware of or could not find any historical information regarding a special use exception or variances having been granted for the signs on the best property, which coincidentally are in the same circumstance that our sign is in that they are too close to the side yard setback and obviously too close to our sign as well. The fourth standard is that it will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and I think that this fourth standard generally dovetails or mirrors nicely the standard for a special use exception, which deals with the negative impact on the uses of adjacent properties. So for all, rather than repeat those, for all those same reasons, again, the biggest one being the sign has been there for the better part of a quarter of a century or greater, and it has not stopped or impacted development around it as those properties have been developed. The fifth standard is that as the minimum variance that will afford relief. The proposed sign before you tonight is the standard size that's allowed for by Sussex County's code, and these are the variances when you build that standard size modern sign. Last, I know that one consideration that the board often has in these applications is that throughout Sussex County, you will see billboards that do not have advertising on them. That is not the case with this billboard. One of the sides is leased under a contract for another year, and another one of the facings is leased for another 2.5 years. Thus, this will not be a vacant billboard. Mr. Geyer, is everything that I've stated to the board tonight true and correct?
Yes.
And Mr. McAllister, was I correct about signs in general? Thank you. That being the case, if the board has any questions, we'd be happy to try to answer them, Mr. McAllister, Mr. Geyer, or myself.
Okay, well, let's see. Are there any questions from members of the board? We'll start with you, Mr. Hudson, this time.
From what you just said, I assume it's going to be a double-sided sign, correct?
Correct. And it currently is a double-sided sign. If you look on the one side, you'll there's pages for both the north and southbound views of the sign.
And you will not exceed the 600 square feet, right?
Correct.
Mr. Workman, I'll come to you, Mr. Hunt.
So there's no trouble really seeing that sign at all. This, do you need the repairs on the sign?
Correct.
That's what you're looking for. I mean, the sign itself, and you just want to raise it up to that height, the 25.
Right, what the code allows.
Correct. What the code allows.
Okay. Mr. Link, you said a question?
Mr. Workman just asked a question I was going to ask.
Oh, I know.
The height, so he said it was going to be 5 foot higher.
Okay.
I just want to make sure it doesn't exceed the 25.
Okay, so it will be the 25. Mr. Mills?
I have no questions.
Okay, and I have no questions at this time. So hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think the applicant has addressed all the standards, both for granting a variance and a special use exception. And Mr. Hutt has done a good job in that. And just to review that, obviously it hasn't had a substantially effect adversely to neighboring and adjacent properties in the past, and we didn't hear testimony that to the contrary of that. I do agree, as he's pointed out, it's unique because it is a nonconforming use and has been for more than a quarter of a century. I agree that the request is reasonable and that it's the same use. Not created by the applicant, it does predate the code, and the residential housing did come after the signs. It hasn't had a negative impact. Just like the was suggested with the special use exception. And it's a standard size billboard, and therefore a minimum request. So I make a motion that we approve case number 11,179.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we approve case number 11,179. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons that were stated.
Again, Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,179 is approved.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.